the basic premise of it is that, of course, it starts out looking at what the selective pressures were that shaped our physiology and our nutritional requirements over 2.6 million years of human evolution. And I consider that sort of Paleolithic approach, if you will, to diet to be a starting place in this book. But it goes well beyond that because really our ancestors, you know, could not have even begun to imagine the world that we live in now, right? I mean, we live in a world filled with pesticides and, you know, MSG and excitotoxins and artificial sweeteners and soils depleted of trace minerals and all kinds of pollution and contaminants in the air and water and heavy metal toxicity and, you know, toxic halogens in the atmosphere and in our water, like fluoride and chlorine and bromides and genetically modified organisms and processed foods, and, you know, it just goes on and on and on. And, you know, food irradiation and EMF pollution. And, you know, nowadays, if you want to, you know, irradiate your food, all you have to do is hang your vegetables out your kitchen window. So with Fukushima and everything. So we're living in a world that is extraordinarily different and extraordinarily more challenging than what our ancestors knew. And I think that what we need to do is take some of that into account and adapt these basic principles that that we can extrapolate from our Paleolithic ancestors and adapt that to our own modern conditions to figure out how to best optimize our diet.
You know that old saying, Nora, you are what you eat.
Yeah. And unfortunately, you know, we're a mess, you know, nowadays. And, you know, the health statistics are extremely frightening. And so, you know, we're really in need of, I think, taking a look at where we came from in order to figure out how to survive where everything seems to be going. And, you know, almost the whole of my book really represents and actually substantiates the opposite of what most of us were ever told about what it is that constitutes a healthy diet. I mean, it literally flips the existing USDA food pyramid upside down, and it takes the mainstream dietary recommendations of the AMA and flips that on its ear. And basically, all the mainstream educational, medical, and media sources are beholden to corporate interests, you know, and these are all really heavily invested in a conventional sort of low-fat, low-cholesterol, complex carbohydrate-based nutritional paradigm that most of the public has pretty much bought into unquestioningly for the most part. But if, you know, the so-called powers that be want to control the masses or reduce world populations or wherever you want to go with this, right, there's really no more reliable means of accomplishing that, in my view, than through control and manipulation of the food supply and really controlling the perception of what it is that really constitutes a healthy diet.
Why are you interested in what our ancient ancestors ate?
In what our ancestors ate?
Yeah.
Well, because what our ancestors ate and the conditions that they lived in really had a profound influence on how our own physiology evolved over the last 2.5 million years. And whatever the selective pressures were that were happening throughout most of our evolutionary history really, really very carefully shaped our physiological makeup and also established our nutritional requirements. So one of my mantras is that if it wouldn't look like food to somebody wandering around 40,000 years ago with a loincloth and a spear, it's probably not food to us now either. And, you know, it takes anywhere from, you know, 40 to 100,000 years for genetics to really catch up to a major change. And the very first major change that we really faced was the development of agriculture. And that was sort of, I think, the beginning of a tremendous decline in human health and in our brain capacity and in, you know, we started seeing more birth defects. We became shorter in stature. We started developing dental malocclusion and skeletal abnormalities. And we started living less long, in fact. And we also started working a heck of a lot harder for the food we got. I mean, in a hunter-gatherer society, you know, the perception a lot of people have is that, oh, my God, these people exercised all day long. Well, no. I mean, really, the hunter-gatherer lifestyle, by all calculations, probably had a work day of about, you know, 3 or 4 hours. You know, you hunt, you gather, and you're done. This is in contrast, of course, to these people spending, you know, what it takes for a farmer to grow a crop, spending 8 hours a day of, you know, backbreaking labor in the field to produce a food that is actually nutritionally inferior to the food, to many of the more nutrient-dense foods of our more ancient and primitive ancestors. But grains are much more convenient, and they're also a heck of a lot more addictive.
What is the ideal diet for somebody to eat?
Well, that's a bit of a loaded question. Of course, to some degree, you have to take biochemical individuality into account. However, you know, we're all much more alike than we are unalike. And we all basically share the same, you know, 99.998% of the same foundational nutritional requirements. You know, we all have a blood pH of somewhere, in the range of, just slightly alkaline pH. If it gets too high, you know, we all die. If it gets too low, we all die. 7.35, 7.45, roughly. So, so the basic nutritional requirements that I talk about are basically eliminating the need for sugar and starch as much as humanly possible. And I go into great detail as to why that is. Certainly, our ancestors really would not have had access to many foods that were sugary or starchy. See, we're creatures of the Ice Age, basically.
What does that mean?
Well, what that means is that for the last 2.5 million years, we've been in a period called the Quaternary period. We're in the Holocene now, which is kind of an interglacial time period. But the Quaternary Ice Age started 2.5 million years ago, and we're still in it. But it basically consists of both glacial and interglacial periods that were roughly spanning roughly 11,500 years apart. And during this 2.5 million years of the Quaternary, which is nearly the whole of our evolutionary history, you know, we've had about 90 glacial and interglacial periods, but we've spent way more time in cold periods than long periods. And I know that you've interviewed people like Robert Felix, and you talked to Mitch Batros, and you had a good guest on last night, and I'm blanking on his name.
Well, it was either Zimmerman or Heiss.
Yes, Robert Zimmerman. So, but you've heard of the Milankovitch cycle.
Yes.
And this is a cycle that is sometimes referred to as the pacemaker of the Ice Ages. And if you look at this plotted out, and I have a representation of that in my book, the time periods that we actually spent as humans, where it was, you know, fairly warm and temperate, have been minuscule compared to the amount of time that we have spent during our evolutionary history, where the relative average temperature on the planet was considerably colder. So we're ideally suited to those conditions, and basically that. To our physiological makeup, fat to us means survival. And fat is what tells our brain, tells our hypothalamus, whether hunting is good or not, dietary fat. And when there's sufficient dietary fat, it calms down your hunger. And, you know, of course, we know when we eat fatty foods that they're very satiating. We get filled up really, really fast on them because it sends a very rapid message to the brain like, oh, okay, hunting is good.